Good evening, everybody. Welcome to church. Thank you, Mr. Landon Bontrager. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Show them how it's done, gentlemen. I love it. All right, welcome to Ash Wednesday service here at Antioch. It's good to see you. If you're not a normal part of the Antioch family, my name's Andrew. I'm the lead pastor here. And we are going to get started right off with the message. We're going to do worship at the end. Did you know that was allowed in church? I know. It's like, yeah, I know. It's like, are we heretics or I don't know. So go ahead and get your notes out. We're going to start off. Kiddos, happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
Raise your hand if you got candy at school today. Yeah. Bet you can't guess who's already eaten a bunch of candy before they got, yeah, thank you. Thank you. Okay, get it all out now, young men. So we just, you know, Brooke's idea was to get everybody hopped up on candy before Ash Wednesday started for the kids, so that was your fault. No. Kids, so hey, I'm going to preach for a little bit, kids, so can y'all pay attention or be quiet? That's the expectation. Children, look up at me. Look up at me. You guys are going to sit still, okay, for just a little bit, and then we're going to worship, and then we won't even notice if you're talking. So it'll be great. I know Miss Anna and Miss Mindy put together some packets for you guys. I hear there's a prize if you take notes and have bring those sheets filled out to church on Sunday. So I know, Sam, right? Yeah, Sam's going to do it. All right. So I like asking this each year, but who would consider yourself new to Ash Wednesday, Lent, participating in that? Raise them high, raise them high. Awesome. This is, I think, our fourth year doing this as a church. So raise your hand if you only started participating in Lent in the last 4 years as we did. It's like since we did. Yeah, probably. Okay, half-ish. How many of you have been doing Ash Wednesday, Lent for a long time? Awesome. Cool. Good little mix. I saw something on some website today that I thought was hilarious. Apparently, last year on Ash Wednesday, some like morning news show had Mark Wahlberg on. Have you guys heard about this? So they had Mark Wahlberg on for the morning show, and he had like his ash cross on his face, and I guess he was telling them about Lent, and apparently the producers of the show and the hosts had never heard of Lent and had no idea what it was. So the kind of, what's it called on the bottom, the Chiron, is that right? What's that called? Chiron? Yeah, oh, Brooke would know. The Chiron on the bottom said, Mark Wahlberg 40-day challenge. So welcome everybody to the Mark Wahlberg 40-day challenge. This is why we do Ash Wednesday service, to talk about why we do this. Oh, man, that's so good. So get your notes out, because we're going to do a handful of, we're going to have some definitions for you, because Lent is one of those things that is unfamiliar to about half of us, and at least in the last 4 years. So we want to talk about, what is Lent? Why do we do Lent? How do we participate in Lent? It's something that can sort of have some baggage to it. Like, you know, when we did the Advent series over Christmas, we talked about tradition and how tradition can kind of have a negative connotation to it, but tradition's only bad if you don't know why you're doing it. If you know why you're doing it, tradition is actually amazing. So that's what we want to make sure we're underscoring tonight, is why are we doing all of this? Because I want you to have vision for it. I want us to have vision for it as a community. And there's a lot of people in our church and your life group who aren't here tonight, and it's something that you'll be able to share with them as we do this together. So Lent starts tonight. And last thing I want to say on that is there's tons of different ways to do this. So I'm not giving like the one way that everyone has always done it. We're going to just kind of bring it in to talk about how we're participating in Lent this year. So the first question that I want to answer is, what is Lent? What is it? I know Molly Grolemond made a social media post for something today, said you can't spell Valentine's Day without Lent. But, well, now there's an observation for you. Thank you, Molly. Is she here? Where? Yeah. Happy Lent. Molly. Okay, so what is Lent? Lent is a ritual of remembering Jesus and his salvation. It is a ritual of remembering Jesus and his salvation. Now, does that sound like something anybody wants to do?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. What is Lent? Lent is simply, that's what we're talking about, is a ritual of remembering Jesus and his salvation. As you'll see, that's a pretty short, broad definition. So the goal of these next 40 days together is to participate individually and as a community. What are some rituals, routines, and practices in my life that I can insert in addition to my normal life to help me remember Jesus and his salvation? That's what we're trying to go for. Now, why? Why would we do that? Why do we participate in Lent? The why is that we participate in Lent as preparation for Easter. So why do I insert some additional rituals, rhythms, practices, and routines over these 40 days to remember Jesus and his salvation? Because Easter's coming. And Easter is awesome. And why let Easter be one Sunday 40-something days from now when we can make a whole season out of it? So that's the goal here. That's what we're trying to do. We are remembering the sufferings of Jesus during the time of Lent. We're reflecting. In Christmas, we remember that Jesus came and he comes and he's coming. In Lent leading up to Easter, we remember the entire life of Jesus and his death and his resurrection. We remember the sufferings of his life. We remember his temptations. And we remember his death as we prepare to celebrate his resurrection on Easter Sunday. So this Lent is a 40-day period leading up to the crucifixion. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to introduce some suffering into our life over these 40 days to remember that Christ has suffered for us. It's not earning anything. It's out of love and affection, introducing some measure of suffering into our life to help us remember Jesus and remember his salvation. We're introducing some sort of desolation into our daily routines or into our weekly routines, into our lives, to serve as active daily reminders of Jesus. Just like we take time every Sunday to remember Jesus by taking communion, in this season of Lent, we choose to introduce daily and weekly reminders for an extended season in order to consistently remember the Lord. We don't take communion because it earns us something from God. We take it because we want to remember Jesus. We need to remember Jesus. In the same way, during this season of Lent, we introduce some sort of suffering or desolation or rhythm into our life because we want to remember Jesus more. So for anybody who wants to grow in remembering Jesus more throughout the day, for anybody who sat through, you know, one could say like a sermon series, maybe called like Kingdom Fruit, maybe it was based out of like John 15 and Jesus saying like, abide in me and apart from me, you can do nothing. Anybody who wants to grow in something like that, Lent is for you. This is a great opportunity to step in to that growth, an opportunity to introduce these things and grow in praying without ceasing, thinking on the Lord, and staying in step with the Holy Spirit. So we participate in the season of Lent as preparation for Easter. As we'll talk on the coming Sundays, we're going to talk about repentance, we're going to talk about sin, we're going to talk about holiness and all of this, but that is not because we are not choosing to participate in Lent as a season of penance. We are choosing to participate in the season of Lent as a season of penitence. Oh, big difference, right? So this is why we're going to get into definitions, because words matter. Traditionally, maybe if you grew up in the Catholic tradition, or if that's your context for Lent, they will talk a lot about Lent being a season of penance, that you're introducing this suffering as sort of a discipline for sin, essentially consequence, kind of engaging in the discipline for sin. That's not what we're choosing to do. That's great for other people to do it that way. I just want to clarify why we're doing this. So the traditional understanding of Lent is that it's a season of penance, of prayer, of fasting, and of giving. And those are fine and good things, but I want to clarify what we're doing here as a church. So I said that we're not doing this as penance, but we do want to accept and embrace penitence. And I want to tell you the difference between those two words because they do matter for you. Penitence, what is penitence? What are we going for? What do we want to participate in this season? Penitence is the feeling of sorrow over sin and the action of repentance from sin. So there's a word in there that we generally don't like, sorrow, but it is right and good to embrace the feeling of sorrow for sin. And we want to not just brush past that in our life, but part of the Lent season is to embrace the reality that I have sinned, and it is right to feel sorrow for that, and it is right to let that lead me to repentance. Penance, on the other hand, is more of a punishment or an act to pay for sin. So that's not what we're going for. This isn't just some religious practice of like, if I fast or if I introduce some suffering that I become more righteous because I'm paying for sin in some sense. That's not what we're saying. We're saying we want to react rightfully in penitence and recognize that yes, I have sinned and I do sin, and I do want to introduce practices into my life, not because they purchase righteousness for me, but because they teach me righteousness. They raise me in righteousness. This is the grace of spiritual disciplines. We don't participate in spiritual disciplines because they earn us something that God won't give us until we pay for it. We participate in spiritual disciplines because they're a way of orienting around the grace of God, disciplining the flesh, turning away from sin, and choosing to walk in repentance. So we are wanting to be a penitent people, but that is different than trying to practice penance. Now, one thing I just noticed this year, which is kind of silly, is that it's funny that I just am realizing it. You know, this is Ash Wednesday, and we have an Ash Wednesday service, but we don't do any ashes. And I just kind of think that's funny. And if you've wondered what's the reason for that, now you know. It's because I literally never even thought about it. So moving on from that, that's the explanation for that. So I know I mentioned this earlier, but I just want to make this point really, really clearly because it matters for us to have the right vision. Just like communion doesn't earn us anything from God, participating in Lent is not about earning something from God. It's about choosing to enter into remembrance and into focus on Jesus. It's another rhythm of spiritual discipline that we can insert into our normal lives and insert into our annual calendar to help us stay awake in the white noise of life and sharpen our focus on Jesus and sharpen our focus on the things of the kingdom of God. So Lent is remembering Jesus and his salvation. We do it so that we can prepare for Easter. And I want to talk about why go into all of this trouble to prepare for Easter? I want to give you five reasons that it's a great idea to prepare for Easter and participate in Lent. Number one, we want to be purposeful. We want to be purposeful. Just like taking communion, Selah, Sabbath, so many other spiritual disciplines, we want to be a purposeful people in implementing remembrance into our busy, loud lives. I don't know about you, but every Sunday when we do Selah, I remember again why we do Selah. Similarly with Lent. We want to be purposeful. It's a good reminder and rhythm to put into our life to remember Jesus because life is busy, life is loud. Lent is not a biblical mandate in the sense of it's an instruction from us or to us in the Bible. But it is biblical in the sense that we sort of build Lent off of the precedent of what we see in the Bible. The Bible encourages us to practice self-discipline and be disciplined towards righteousness, to, you know, do things like put off the old self and put on the new self, to not walk in the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit. So we want to be purposeful. That takes effort. Sometimes we can be tempted to say that, well, by grace, I'll just kind of keep doing everything I'm normally doing and I'll just change miraculously along the way. And yeah, God will do some of that, but there is grace to walk in the discipline of the Lord. And that's why we choose these spiritual disciplines. We focus on repentance, and we zero in that in a lot of ways during these 40 days, because that is sort of essential to the gospel. It's not all just being happy. We have to walk out our repentance. That is really what the Christian life is, and so we're going to focus on that. And we do it for 40 days because 40 is a significant number in the Bible. Usually when there's something of 40 in the Bible, it's marking an important time period or an important event. It is also a number that often relates to trial and testing, which would make sense as we participate in spiritual disciplines. The 40 days of Lent is framed around the 40 days of Jesus fasting and being tempted. So we are being purposeful to participate in the victory of Jesus as we participate in Lent. Number two, we want to grow. This is why we participate in Lent. We want to grow. You know in your own life that discipline leads to growth. We want to grow. We want to mature. Intentionality leads to growth. None of us grow personally, or we don't grow in our marriages. We don't grow financially or professionally without intentional discipline towards that growth. That's why so many of you are participating in Marriage Encounter. It takes effort. And it's the same for your spiritual life and your walk with God. It doesn't happen by accident. So it is a joy and it is a grace from God for us to be able to take this rhythm of natural seasons and a calendar year to choose to invest in our spiritual growth. Number three, we participate in Lent because we value church history. The church is bigger than any of us can imagine. Right now, today, it's bigger than any of us can imagine. There are believers gathering all around the world to kick off this Lent season together. And that's just here and now. You know, it just always blows my mind to think about the church in the past. And then it blows my mind even more to think about the future church. And we are a part of the church of Jesus Christ. Back to the early church fathers and potentially the apostles, Christians have been practicing seasons and rhythms of remembering Jesus, remembering salvation, and celebrating our life in God. Of course, we understand that we do communion because that goes back to the Last Supper, but even things like Lent, spiritual discipline, season of remembrance, are something that Christians have been doing pretty much since the beginning. There are many scholars who believe and agree that the 40 days of Lent may have began being practiced as early as the year 325. That's a serious tradition. So we want to value the wisdom of our fathers in the Lord. We want to value our history as saints in the church. And we want to value tradition as members of the body of Christ. Not out of obligation, but out of joy and voluntarily choosing to embrace the fact that I'm part of an incredible, massive, enduring family. And we've been doing this for a long time. Number four, we do this because we love God. We do this because we love God. It doesn't mean you don't love God if you don't participate in Lent. I'm just saying we do this because we love God. One core attribute of love is that it suffers for the object of its love. Love suffers because love is a fighting thing. G.K. Chesterton, I quote him a lot because I think he's the greatest. He says, "To love a thing without wishing to fight for it is not love at all. It is lust." And I think he's right. One way that Christ loved us was by suffering for us. Amen? Remember the cross? And one way we love him is by fellowshipping with him in his suffering and remembering his suffering. It is an act of love for God to mourn over sin. It is an act of love for God to be broken and to commit to walking out repentance. It is an act of love to fight against the flesh and the power of the Holy Spirit so that righteousness grows in us. And number five, we do this because we value the resurrection. Easter is the apex Christian holiday, and Lent is 40 days of remembering why Jesus had to die and looking forward to his resurrection. We must remember the centrality of suffering in the life and the death of Christ. And we must remember the centrality of suffering as Christ followers. Suffering is a central part of our lives. I don't know if you remember this, but when we did the Via Dolorosa series a couple years ago, if you were with us, we referenced how the early Pentecostal church talked about those who don't suffer for their faith will suffer a shallow faith. And it's true. Jesus promised us that we would suffer in our faith. We must remember suffering for our faith. Sometimes our suffering is because of persecution, and always our suffering is because of temptation. Have you ever been tempted? Have you ever been tempted? Was that fun? No. Temptation is a suffering out of love for Christ. You're choosing to suffer that tension because you love Jesus. You love holiness. You love righteousness. It is an act of love to stand strong in the face of temptation. We follow the God whose body was broken and whose blood was poured out. And as his followers, we expect the same for our bodies to be broken and for our blood to be poured out in the daily dying to self and in dying to the world that we live in. We observe Lent to set our hearts, souls, our minds, and our strength towards remembering Christ's real sufferings and his real death for our real sins. And we remember his real resurrection that really does give us real new life. So how do we participate in Lent? That's why we participate in Lent. How do we do it? What does it look like to insert these rhythms, practices, and even these sufferings? There's three ways I want to encourage you to participate in Lent this season. And I want to say that I want to encourage you to participate in all three of these ways. I really encourage you, if you want to just pick one, that's great, but I encourage you to pick all three. You can do all of these three in some way, not because of obligation and all of that, but because of all of the five reasons I just listed. So what are the three ways that you can participate in Lent this season? Number one, I want to encourage you to fast. I want to encourage you to fast. Fast from something. Fast from something. Fasting is a practice that Scripture clearly tells us breaks the bonds of wickedness. It doesn't exactly explain how that works, so don't ask me that, but it seems that it does work, so I'll take it. It's a practice that Scripture clearly tells us breaks the bonds of wickedness. It's also, fasting crucifies the flesh, which as we've already talked about, we must crucify our flesh if we want to walk as the new self. Amen? Fasting is a practice of remembering the supremacy of Jesus over the world and remembering our desperation for Jesus in our daily lives. So what is fasting? It is abstinence from food or drink. So I'm calling you to fast from some sort of food and or some sort of drink. We'll get to social media later because that seems to be the popular fast, which is great. But that's not really fasting. Fasting is specifically talking about food and drink. You set aside that food or that drink for the purpose of making time to pray. This is why fasting is spiritual warfare. Maybe the reason that fasting breaks the bonds of wickedness is because you pray more. If you're not praying more, you're just not eating. And there's not like spiritual breakthrough in that in and of itself. Fasting is whole self prayer and intercession. I'm praying with my mind and I'm praying with my soul and I'm praying with my strength and now I'm praying with my body. I am choosing that my hunger is intercession. My thirst is intercession. Jesus fasted for 40 days. Moses fasted 40 days. Elijah fasted 40 days. So we're all doing it. Only water for the next 40 days. No, I'm kidding. Fasts are all over the Old Testament. And Jesus, not only did Jesus fast, but he said that his followers would fast. So this is just like something that is good to have in your arsenal of spiritual disciplines as we're trained in righteousness. So I encourage you to fast these next 40 days from something that you like. Fast from something that you like. The point is that what you fast from is noticeable. The point is that what you fast from is a sacrifice. And this is, it's not dieting. That's not what we're going for. There may be those like beneficial physical effects and stuff, and that's fine, but that's not like what we're doing. That's not like the call to go on a 40-day diet. It's 40 days of participating in whole body prayer and remembering the Lord Jesus. So I'm not prescribing what that looks like. Just pick something. Pick a food or a food group or a drink or a... Don't tell Caleb, maybe you need to fast from coffee. No. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, we've struck a chord, have we? I'm not saying it's the Lord, but do something. Do some sort of rhythm of fasting over these next 40 days. Maybe there's something that you're not going to have for 40 days. Maybe you're going to, and there's so many ways churches and denominations and stuff have done this. It's so cool. So if you need ideas, Google, like, how can I fast for Lent? There's so many cool things. Maybe you give up food groups during the week, or you fast Fridays, or fast lunch a couple of days a week, or fast from some specific food. Just pick something that's going to be noticeable, something that you like, that you can offer to Jesus as a loving sacrifice to remember him and his salvation over these next 40 days. Command your appetite to remind you of the Lord Jesus over these next 40 days. That's what it is. Also, turns out, I'm learning more year by year, Sundays are supposed to be feast days during Lent, so we should all do that too. Because we remember the day of the Lord and feast on Sunday. So throw that into your rhythm. There's a lot of smiles about the feast days. Not a lot of smiles about the fasting. So number one, fast. Fast from something. Number two, abstain. Abstain from something. So to abstain is to voluntarily refrain from doing something or enjoying something. Sounds a lot like fasting, doesn't it? That's why fasting is aimed at food and drink. Abstaining is just like everything else, or whatever else. So fasting is an activity of remembering Jesus and longing for Jesus to make space for prayer. Abstinence is a self-discipline for the sake of virtue and the sake of righteousness. Okay, so you're fasting to remember you, to remind you to pray. You tracking with me there? I'm fasting to remember to pray. I'm participating in the spiritual discipline of abstinence to cultivate virtue, to cultivate righteousness. We've talked about virtue quite a bit over the last year or so. Virtue means rightly ordered loves. We are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so what we're saying is that virtues are essentially the things and the decisions that we make that aim our love at God instead of ourselves or the world. Vices, which are the opposite of virtue, vices are things that distract us away from loving God and cultivate a love for the world and love for ourselves. Opposites. So the question is, what is a vice or a distraction in your life that you can use this time to set it aside and be disciplined, to discipline your love towards the Lord? That's simple enough. Doesn't have to be a bad thing. Doesn't have to be a sin. Although if there is a sin in your life that is overtaking you, let's get after it these 40 days. Now. Now's the time. Let everybody in your life group know. Let everybody in your row know. I'm over it, man. Like 40 days, I'm not doing it. That'd be awesome. So if there's a sin that you need to walk in the conquering victory of Christ over, now's your time. Praise the Lord. Also, is there just distractions in your life? Are there things that again, maybe they're not bad things or wrong things, but there's something that you can set aside because you can aim that fire of love towards God instead of these other things? I've told you in the past, last year, I confessed that I spent too much time on YouTube. You know, I'm just like, it gets sucked into the black hole. I know you don't, but I do. And so I was like, all right, I'm giving up YouTube for Lent. So now that grew into this year, I'm getting off YouTube. I've had a few relapses already, but I'm way better. Praise the Lord. So is YouTube bad? No. Are trucks bad? Heck no. Trucks are awesome. But I want to train my heart towards the Lord, and that has my heart in some way. So what is it for you? One year we put away the TV as a family for those 40 days. This year Heather and I were abstaining from buying things. Of course we have to buy the essentials and stuff, but like it's like like anything that's not essential, we're just going to not do that because, you know, just be, you get it. So that's like something we're doing. So that's just some ideas. Maybe movies, shopping, social media, the news, sports, podcasts, secular music, all music. I don't know. But just what's something you can abstain from, something that you can discipline your love towards the Lord. The last thing that I want to encourage you, or last way I want to encourage you to participate in Lent this season is to pray more. I usually try not to give those sort of like ambiguous encouragements, like, you know, all the things you should be doing that are good, just do them more. Come on, guys. But like, let's just pray more. I know it's not like the best thing, but don't you want to pray more? I want to pray more. Let's pray more. Fasting and abstaining is going to help catalyze you into moments of prayer throughout your day. So I want to encourage you to not just fast and get hungry, but fast and pray. That's one step in praying more. That's great. As you abstain from things and you're reminded of, you go to turn on YouTube and then you don't remember Jesus and his salvation. But lastly, I really want to encourage you to insert, if you don't already, insert a rhythm of corporate prayer, if at all possible, into your life. We have a lot of opportunities to do that here that I'm going to tell you those times here in just a second. If one of the times don't work, start one. Just come and tell us you want to start one at your house, at whatever time. Like, just let's pray together, not only individually, over these next 40 days. So the opportunities that you have over the next 40 days, quick secret, they're opportunities you have every week, not just during Lent. We're just doing the things we always do. But I want to really encourage you to insert something like this into your life. On Sunday mornings, we have pre-service prayer back in the offices from 9:15 to 9:40. On Mondays and Fridays, and the couches out there from 6 to 7 a.m., we have prayer times. And then on Wednesday mornings in here, 6 to 7, we have Jesus Hour. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and then every other Thursday, we have Prayer for the Nations. I talked about that this last Sunday. That's at the Ramos' house. And what time is that at? Doesn't say on there. 7 to 8 on Thursdays, every other Thursday. So Those, especially those weekly ones, just like pick one. Do one 6 times over the next 6 weeks. You know, just insert that rhythm of corporate prayer into your life. We want to fast, we want to abstain, and we want to pray. So I'm encouraging you to do that, this opportunity to remember the Lord Jesus and remember his salvation. To take these next 40 days, insert these rhythms into your life to prepare for the glorious day of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. We're going to take a few minutes right here. We're going to take 5 minutes. We'll have a countdown on the screen. And we're going to just, the band's just going to play for a few minutes so that we can all settle, what am I going to do for these 3 things? What am I going to fast from? What am I going to abstain from? And what type of rhythm of prayer am I going to insert into my life? Sound good? So I want you to take out something you can write with if you haven't already. There's no scoreboard for this. There's no points for this. We just want to do it out of love and affection for Jesus. So the 2 ways you can think about this over these 5 minutes is, number one, Lord, is there anything that you're asking me to fast from? You're inviting me to abstain from? Any prayer time that you're inviting me to go to? That's kind of one. Lord, what do you want me to do? The second way to look at it, which is equally as good, is, what do you want to do? What do I want to fast from? What do I need to abstain from? What prayer time can I interject into my life? So we're going to take 5 minutes. Just be quiet. Settle this in your heart. And then I'm going to come up and lead us in communion together before we worship. As we kick off this season together, let's stand and take communion. If you didn't get the elements as you walked in, raise your hand real quick and we'll bring them to you. Is that anybody or are we ready to go? A couple people over here. Okay. Jordan, do you have some? Over here. Over there, Steph. Raise your hand. I'll make sure we're good. Oh, perfect. All right, well, let's take the bread and pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your body broken for us. We thank you and we remember your sufferings. We remember that our salvation is free for us, but you paid for it at a great price. And we thank you for these coming days. We consecrate ourselves to you. We pray that you would form your righteousness in us. Build us up in your grace. And let us experience your presence more than ever before as we remember you. Let's take the bread together. And Lord, we thank you for your precious blood poured out for us. We thank you for these days coming where we have this opportunity to in some small way remember your sufferings and participate in them. We pray that as we are hungry or thirsty or remembering the things we're abstaining from or the different things, Lord, we pray that we would never forget your precious blood poured out for us and that we would drink deep of your precious grace in this season. Let's take together. Praise the Lord. We're going to worship for a few minutes together before we end our time. So let's sing together.